Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about part two in our series on spiritual warfare. And if you were with us last week, you know we had a good message from Ephesians chapter 6. And so today we're going to be talking about deliverance and how Jesus Christ gives us the authority to cast out demons, the authority to take power over the demonic realm. And so this is a message that you're going to want to hear and stay with it clear to the very end. So if you have your Bible today, turn it to Matthew chapter 12. We'll start there in just a minute. Before we start with today's message, I want to give you a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya, coming to you live from Kenya today. And we're in the fall rain season, the time of short rains, they call it here. And so we have all of our maize and beans and vegetable crops planted. Things are coming up very well. It's starting to rain just about every day here now, so this is the way it will be for about 2 months, and then it'll taper down to a very dry season in December, January, and February. And so we're happy for the rains, thankful for that. We have prospects for a good maize crop so we can feed the children and keep them happy with lots of good food. And the church is going well. We have a good attendance at the church every week. It's nearly full every week, and so eventually we're going to have to add on to the church, and that will be a project in the years to come. We're also looking to build a school in that Makunda Village neighborhood near the church. We have some land purchased to build a school on. We have an acre, but we want to get another acre right beside that one, and so we'll have 2 acres to build a primary school so our children at the children's home can go to school there. We can have a good Christian school, teach them the principles of the Christian faith while they're getting their ABCs. And so that is also something you can pray about and be a part of. We're going to need about $100,000 to build that school, stock it, furnish it, and get it up and going. So that's something that you can pray about. So all of these items, pray about them. If you want to donate, if you want to be a part of the support for Gather the Outcast Ministry in Kenya, stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Well, today again, we're talking about part two in our series on spiritual warfare, and I'm going to have a couple of stories from Jesus. First one coming out of Matthew chapter 12, and the second one coming from Mark chapter 5. And so Jesus is all about spiritual warfare. He is the reason for spiritual warfare. He is our banner. He is our protector. He is our provider. And so because of him, when you can commit your life to Jesus Christ, when you say yes to Jesus and you say yes to serving him, making him the Lord of your life and your Savior, you put yourself in the crosshairs of the devil, because we are in a spiritual battle. And so you put yourself in the crosshairs of the devil and you become a target for him. The wiles of the evil one, the fiery darts of the evil one, will then be shot at you. So don't be shocked if you are a baby believer. Don't be shocked if all kinds of things come at you and try to destroy you. It's just the work of the devil trying to get you to denounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to get you away from your destiny and your calling. So stand firm, as Paul said in Ephesians 6:10 and 6:12, stand firm that you may be able to withstand the wiles, the fiery darts of the evil one. And so stand firm and know that your reward is coming. Your reward is coming in heaven, and that is where you're going to collect your crowns, collect your reward as you stand firm in your faith. Well, in Matthew 12, in verse 25, they are accusing, that is, the Pharisees and the religious elite are accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, or the power of the demons. And so Beelzebub was the lord of the flies. He was a demonic entity or spirit that they accused Jesus of using his power to cast out demons. Well, in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." In other words, what he's saying is the devil will not cast himself out. It's not by the power of the devil that you cast demons out of people, because the devil's kingdom, he attempts to be united. Even though the demons hate each other, they still attempt to be united in their cause in working for the devil. And so they will not cast themselves out of a person's body. They are united in destroying that person. Their end goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly." So the thief and all the demons, all of his minions that work under Satan, work under the devil, they have a united purpose, and that is to destroy you, to destroy your physical body, to destroy your spiritual life, to destroy your calling and your destiny. And Jesus says, "I can't be operating under the power of Beelzebub, a demonic entity, and cast out demons." So in verse 26, Jesus said, "If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" Well, the truth is, it won't stand. That's why he won't cast himself out. In verse 27, "If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges." And verse 28, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." And so Jesus is making a statement right there, saying, "I cast out demons by the Spirit of God." And that is why the demons go, is because the Spirit of God is more powerful than the spirit of Beelzebub. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, he's saying that the kingdom of God was represented by Jesus Christ himself. And everywhere he went, the glory of God, the power of God, the signs, wonders, and miracles of God were with Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God was in him, the power of God was in him. And it's still true today. If you have the Spirit of God within you, if you're a born-again believer, and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God is within you, and you have authority to cast out demons. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. But Jesus says that when you see the demons go, you know the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom has come upon you. And he says in verse 29, then, How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He's talking about power. He's saying this is a power struggle. When I go to the strong man's house, if I'm stronger than him, then I will bind him and take his goods. It's a bit like a wrestling match. If you have more power than that person opposite you there in the ring at the wrestling match, then you can go out there and you can bind that man and put him down, put his shoulders on the mat, and you win the match. But if he has more power than you, then he will do the same to you. And so Jesus says, if I bind that strong man, then I have the power, I have the authority to go in there and to steal his goods, take over his house, and throw him out. Verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." You're either with Jesus Christ or you're with the devil. There is no gray area in between. You're either with Jesus, you're either with the kingdom of God, or you're operating for the devil, and you're with the kingdom of the devil, which is the ruler of this world. The devil is the ruler of this world, but Jesus said, "Never mind I have overcome the world. In other words, if you want to overcome the demonic strongholds of this world, and it may be manifesting in your life, or it may be manifesting in the life of your children, or your family, or this nation, and it may be manifesting in the way of some kind of addiction, alcoholism, drug use, lying, cheating, stealing, pornography, adultery, whatever it is that you are battling, you have to get the power of Jesus Christ in your life to battle that demonic stronghold. Then you can go into your house, or you can go into somebody else's house, take over that stronghold, cast him out, and go in there and clean up that house once and for all. And it works the same with a nation. When you have demonic strongholds, like we do in Kenya, like we do in the USA, demonic principalities governing and ruling over nations, it takes a lot of prayer, takes a lot of worship, takes a lot of coordinated activity among the churches, among the people of God, to cast those demons out, to get rid of them, to go in and clean them out and replace them with the kingdom of God. And you look at the United States of America, we just recently, a couple of years ago, took down Roe v. Wade, the free and easy access to abortion here in America. And it took over 40 years of prayer and activity by the people of God to finally get that ruling by the Supreme Court overturned. And it was a tremendous battle. And so now we have replaced that principality that was allowing free and easy access to abortion here in the USA. Well, in verse 31, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." And so Jesus is saying there's only one unforgivable sin, and it's not divorce, it's not smoking cigarettes, it's not cussing at your dog or some person that you don't like. The unforgivable sin is denial of the activity, or denial of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to convict people of their sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when people deny that power, they say, "I have no sin, and I don't need a Savior, and I don't need this talk about religion, all this talk about Jesus, all this talk about salvation. I don't need that because my sin is not a big deal. I'm basically a good person." They have just then blasphemed the Holy Spirit because they're denying the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin, to make them realize they need a Savior, and to acknowledge Jesus Christ's death on the cross, the blood that he shed, and their need, their own need, their own personal need for salvation. And so that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. All other sins, Jesus said, it will be forgiven of them. But when they continue to deny, even to the point of their death, and continue to deny that they have no sin, or they do not need their sins forgiven, they do not need their sins covered by the blood of Jesus, then that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and then they are condemned to hell because they have denied the saving grace. They've denied the blood of Jesus to lift them up out of hell, and so they choose their final abode, which is separation from God. Well, I'm going to wrap up this portion of the scripture, verse 33. Jesus says, "Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree bad and the fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." Well, isn't that for sure? You don't get oranges off an apple tree. You don't get grapes off a thorn bush. And so if your tree is good, the fruits coming off of you will be good. But if your tree is bad, then the fruits coming out of your life will be bad. And so we have the fruits of the Spirit. That's another message for another day, the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness,